For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello, hello, it is me, and I am back again.
I don't know why I'm talking that way.
Phillip's looking at me like I'm insane.
Well, you know, I am a bit crazy, so the insanity plea, I will go with that. I will admit, you know, a bit insane.
You sounded crazy. A little bit like Mrs. Doubtfire. Hello!
Hello! I will take that, and I will run with it, and I will run the bases, and I will come back home again. I don't know. That reminds me of a George Carlin
joke. Who's
on
second?
Well, did you ever hear the George Carlin thing? It's like the difference between football and baseball.
No.
And it's like football basically gets and says, I will fight you for 10 yards trying to get a touchdown as I battle through every defender in the way. In baseball, the object is to run home. It's really funny when you hear his whole bit on it. I'm like, if you're anyone who's a baseball fan, not a football fan, I guess you're going to be offended. But, you know, it's all in good fun. But anyways, yes, I am your Spider-Pan Jeremy, and of course with me again, Lost Boy Phillip, as we've already heard from him today.
Hello.
We've got so much stuff to talk about today. One of, of course, the big things to talk about is, do you realize next weekend is Free Comic Book Day? Free! One of my favorite holidays. Although, I guess technically it's not like a holiday.
Well, no.
But I will count it.
Well, sure.
I will count it as my blessings of Free Comic Book Day. We also had the thing called CinemaCon that happened last week, so there's a lot of big kind of movie news when dropped. I think I got some new game stuff that I found out about this week. And it's all coming up for you here on the Fandom Nexus, so make sure you stay tuned. And hey, make sure you're telling your friends. If you have a good time hanging out with us, tell your friends about it and share it with them, and so we can all have fun together. That's part of what the Fandom Nexus is we all getting to come together and just have fun. And we want to make sure everybody gets a chance to share in the glory of the fun.
The Fandom Nexus.
Oh, indeed. Wow, that microphone works really good from a distance for you. It actually sounds really good, I gotta say.
There we go.
That thing, I mean, is this sounding pretty good? Normally, you know, like this one, in order to get the nice, good sound, I hold this one. I'm getting pretty close to it. I don't have to be that close to it, but I want to be quiet and intimate with it because that microphone will pick me up from
over
here.
You want to be intimate with it. That's interesting.
Well, that microphone, if I pull this one away, you can still hear me in that microphone over there. And so I try to hold it close so I can be close and intimate. And
there you go.
Plus, I sound better this way. It's a little bassier. And I know I sound super sexy. Hi, ladies.
Hey.
I am married, though. Sorry. But then again, you know, you hear the voice, and if the voice sounds nice, then you see a picture of me, you're like, oh, gosh. But hey, you know, if you'd like a drawing of me on a T-shirt, I've been working on, and I think I was talking to you, I need to get some T-shirts done up because yes. I'm about to attend NarthexCon June 11th. Anybody, by the way, in the Missouri area, if you're familiar with That Story Show, we've actually had James Kennison on the show from That Story Show. He's in St. Louis. He's doing, it's almost like a little convention, but it's basically they just want to invite people to record their podcast live. They call it NarthexCon. And I'm planning to attend because it's a free thing. And I figure when I show up, I want to be wearing a new shirt that is current because I don't have any Fandom Nexus shirts.
And when is this this thing?
June 11th.
June 11th.
I've got a registration for two people for Heather and I to go. I don't know if I can add a third person if you wanted to come with us.
Actually, I believe
it's a Saturday, and I'm hoping to get back before you know,
it seems like there's something going on that day. I can't remember what it is.
Well, I know at NarthexCon, that's what's going on. So I've been working on some shirt designs. In fact, I could use maybe some people's opinions. I've done a few different things with some previously done artwork, and some of it is like Philip has already drawn me in a He-Man pose and also a Captain America thing, and I'm reusing those. I'm going to ditch the castle design that I've had for a long time because I don't know what Disney got after me for between the castle or calling myself to Disney and beyond. So, yeah, I don't know which one was the one that infuriated them the way they did a cease and desist on my shirt. So I'm doing a shirt that doesn't have any. There's no mention of Disney. There is no mention or no picture of any castle. You'll either have me in a He-Man pose or me in a Captain America pose. I'd like to have some more pictures and have like you on there.
I've been working on some of you a little bit, but I don't know what kind of hair you want or whatever.
Well, normally my hair is even shorter than it is now, and I have that really short haircut.
I think several.
But I've done stuff where it's a Spider-Pan, the Lost Boys of Neverland. That's kind of fun. And also ones just say the Phantom Nexus. I'm going to make those shirts available. But if you happen to follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Neverland Podcast, you can find these pictures and tell me what you like best about one, and then maybe might make a whole new different thing. I might even have several different versions of different shirts I'll put out. But we do have a shop. If you go to the website neverlandpodcast.com, in the there's a menu that kind of goes underneath the emblem that will say shop, and it'll take you right out to our TeePublic page, and you can find some fun little logos, get them on shirts, get them on I think mouse pads. I think you can put them on a coffee cup if you want to. I mean,
oh, don't say mouse pad. Disney might get on to you.
Oh, I know. I said mouse. Yeah. But we have all kinds of different things and a lot of fun things available.
That's a mouse trap.
Yeah, indeed. So that is coming in. But oh, I've got as we get into our host chatter segment of things, I have to tell you all this crazy stuff that just happened to me just a little bit ago. Because this is scary, man. I've been able to work from home, and I work from home 2 days a week, and then I'm in the office in St. Joe 3 days a week, which it's quite the drive. It's getting very costly. My gas budget is getting blown up. We all know about that, so we don't have to get into it too far. But when I work from home, I use a Google remote to remote into my computer at work. So as long as my computer at work is turned on, I can get right in, and I can do my work. Well, I was trying to work on grabbing some files for some hearing place or whatever. We need to update and add a Best of St. Joe logo to it because we have this thing we run through the TV station of like some Best of St. Joe. And so people can vote what their favorite automotive place is and what their favorite this is and that is and that kind of thing. And so they want to put a logo up to try to encourage people, of course, to vote for them for Best of St. Joe. So I was going to grab the files out of the archives, put them on the desktop PC at work. And then I could work with it and do a quick video edit and get it all done. Well, as I'm sitting there trying to reply on an email saying, oh, hey, well, I'm pulling it from the archives. I'll get something to you and I'll see what I can do. It's like my cursor was moving on its own and it went down into my signature thing and it kept fighting me. Like it would come down and I was like trying to like it would delete letters or I'd end up typing things. And, I have a signature file where it's got, a different type of text where it has my name of Creative Services, KQ2 or, KQTV, something like that. And I kept moving the cursor back up and trying to type my sentence and it kept moving around. I said, what is going on here? So I was like, let me just send this email. And my name had gotten deleted out of my signature and I didn't get to finish the sentence. And I was like, what is this? And I minimize my email program after I see something's gotten archived. Then something else got deleted of my emails. I get out to the desktop and it's almost, when you pass by your icons with your mouse icon, or with your mouse cursor, it kind of lights up as it's kind of highlights. Woo, woo, that's just, everything's just kind of highlighting on the desktop and just going all crazy. And I said, that's weird. That doesn't look right. And I had a hard time. Thankfully, I have a button right on the desktop to do a restart that our tech guys set us up with, so I can just click that. And that's probably the only reason I was able to get the thing to restart. Which, unfortunately, I was in the middle of copying all those files off of our archives. But I was like, well, I don't know what was going on here. Something looks like somebody's has an independent mouse that I can't see and is moving around. And they kept opening up my browser and just messing around. Like some five-year-old kid or whatever who's figured out how to mess around. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it might be, it was around 3 o'clock. And I'm like, this kids are getting home from school. Maybe because kids, they learn how to do this kind of thing. And it seemed like a kid's playing around thinking they're having a good time. Look, I hacked into a computer over at KQTV. Ha, 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 ha. Well, I restarted the computer, I came back, and I said, okay, well, maybe there was just something wrong with the computer. But then it starts happening again. So I put it in a restart. They obviously didn't know, my password. But it only seemed to do it when I was remoting in. So I contacted our IT guy, Bobby, and he goes down and he logs into the computer, doesn't have a single bit of problem. Now, the thing is when I started there, he was busy. So I've been using my own personal Gmail account to kind of, you know, I have access to that, and I use that for remote logging in. And he wants to set me up with use my KQ2 as a Gmail thing. He didn't get a chance to set that up before. And I would use that for remote logging in to see if that makes a difference. But so I figured, okay, well, this is something on me that I need to be doing. So I go and I check, you know, on Gmail, you can check to see anything that's logged in with your stuff. Nothing has logged in with my Gmail that I didn't know. And I went ahead and I changed my Gmail password just in case. But nobody's logged into my Gmail, so I don't know how they could get into remote thing other than on the computer at work. There's a specific password you would have to use to remote into it. Somebody might have hacked that. That has nothing to do that I can do. That's something not definitely still on Bobby's end, I would figure. I'm going to have to talk to him tomorrow and see. I'll let him know. It's like, hey, I've checked my stuff's clean. So, I mean, we can change whatever we need to, but he doesn't like that I'm using my own personal equipment instead of using work equipment to get logged in. It's like, well, I've got this tiny laptop that the work gives me. I can't see the screen. It's really small. It's a lot smaller than this laptop I'm here. I'm using this my personal laptop. But I have my desktop PC. I have a big enough screen. I can edit. It matches the screen size that I have at work, so it's a lot easier to work with. But he wants me to use that laptop. But I have nowhere I can set that laptop down to be able to hook it into like a bigger monitor so I can see it or plug my mouse in. I just don't have any space. So that's going to be tricky, but we got to figure this out. But I think it's somebody who's got to be able to hack from the logging in there. They can't be getting in through my Gmail, because I've checked. There's nobody getting in there but me. So, but that's just darn scary. But like, dude, people don't mess around with stuff. There are nasty people out there in that world.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
It is, yeah, because like, who knows what this person could get to within our archives and just go around and thinking they're being fun and deleting things.
Yeah, you can not only mess up someone's work, but you can actually mess up something very important.
Yeah, he could have really, whoever this is, he, she, whatever they are, could have really messed up things. But I think they think that's fun. That's like some sort of stupid prank. Because it seemed like a kid, because they were just like, woo, look at me. Yeah. The way it was wiggling around, it seemed like some dumb kid messing around, thinking they're being cute. It ain't cute, kids. Parents, if you're hearing this, check, make sure what your kids do. Kids get technology handed to them way too soon. They learn how to do things that we would not have thought of doing when we were kids. I mean, that everything runs on this technology now, and that's just kind of the way of the world. But I didn't want to bring the show down, but I was like, this was an interesting thing that just happened to me today while trying to work.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, y'all, you got to watch it. And I need to figure out how somebody's managing to do this, and because they had to have gotten over. And it's a complicated password that Bobby sets for being able to get into my work computer.
Yeah.
Through a remote access like that. But how normally with remote access, you know, if I move the mouse, and if I'm working remotely from home, I move my mouse. You could actually see my mouse move on the screen at work if you were watching my screen. Likewise, if somebody moves the mouse around, I normally could see the mouse. So how somebody gets in there where I don't see their mouse, but I see everything highlighting, that's scary. And I don't know if I can trust now to get any work done. All right, we pause for a minute because Philip is sneezing. There we go. There we go. I just muted your mic for a little bit. But anyways, so normally, of course, what we do with host chatter, this is kind of fun, so I've got, what have you been watching? And I got a few things I can mention, I guess, I've been watching. But I found a YouTube channel, and I don't know if this is their official at all. But it was called the Hee Haw Warehouse. Oh. So I've watched some episodes of Hee Haw. And I had not realized how long Hee Haw had been running, because I was watching an episode from like 1969.
Oh, yeah, it was on a long time.
Yeah, and it ran up until like 1999, I think I was seeing. That show ran for like forever, like 30 years.
I know it was at least 25. I remember them having the 25th anniversary or something like that. And it seemed like it went off somewhere around then. But I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure it was around that time, because I remember watching the last episode with my father, but I just don't remember when. I don't remember the exact year. But I remember he was kind of sad because he'd been watching it for so long. Yeah,
and I'm not like a country music type like person, but it was a fun to watch.
But yeah, he loved it. We loved a lot of that. I remember Goober was on there.
Goober came on. I think he actually was pretty much in character as Goober when he came on the show.
he was just on there as George Lindsay, you know.
Yeah, George Lindsay.
And he had his name legally changed to George Goober Lindsay, because he went on there to took the hat on.
Yeah.
You know, that was a...
The Jughead had experience, what I call
it. Well, yeah, it was a oh, what did they call them? They were, well, they were, really. They were part of a fedora that kids would take and...
Oh, and they cut it up.
They cut out the middle part. Ah. And they take the part, you know, the part off that would... And they, what would happen is the kids would cut them up because they started selling these pins. We talked about it before.
Yeah.
They sell these pins, and they would pin them on to the middle of it there. And you know, Jughead was one of those kids, the fallback of the World War II days.
Yeah.
And that's what happened was they would take their dad's old fedoras that are worn out, and there'd be holes in them. And so that's how the holes came in the top of the hat. You see them on some of those, and you know, you saw Goober, you know, he had those. So eventually they started cutting them that way. They became so popular, kids would start cutting them, kind of like kids did with their jeans, you know. And now, by the way, forgive me, if you buy them this way, it's just so stupid. People are like, oh, I'm going to spend more money to buy messed up jeans. And
well, heck, you're starting to pay more for less material on a lot of different things.
Oh, heavens, the Murgatroyd.
Well, we're going to sound like grumpy old men, and that's not the nostalgia we aim for.
I am a grumpy old man. I don't mind. I mean, I'm not that old, but with my body, I'm pretty much that old. So,
yeah. Other thing that I watched this week is, and we talked about this, that Paramount Plus was going to show, and they've recently, you know, 4K'd it and everything, the new director's cut of Star Trek The Motion Picture. I sat down and watched that one. And it was funny because I had seen on YouTube where someone was kind of Star Trek The Motion Picture, the staring contest movie.
That's how it was in the one I already had.
And everybody was staring. But I thought maybe they would have cut that down. They didn't.
No, you can't.
I don't feel like they made that movie any better with this new cut.
Because I told you I had the extremely long edition already.
Yeah.
And I've had it for a long time.
Well, I thought this was supposed to be a shorter edition. That would have been in my thought.
No.
Because you could cut off most of that movie and it would probably only run about an hour and a half.
I don't think you can make that a non... I mean, the thing is in their defense... I don't think there is a defense for this, but it was supposed to be a TV show that they turned into a movie, and then they made that into a long thing. And they also didn't have time to edit it, even. They had to get it done. Boom, ching, kick it out to the theater.
They had they'd already scheduled a release date, and they didn't have a script complete because Gene Roddenberry kept passing back and forth between Alan Dean Foster, and they'd keep taking changes. So they'd get onto the set, and they wouldn't know what they're filming today, so they would say, all right, everybody stare to the view screen and react, and we'll just let the visual effects department do stuff.
And they didn't even really know what they were reacting to.
They're not, they didn't know what they were looking at. They're just staring at it.
And they're like, oh, there's a big thing that you're seeing, and it's amazing, and
you've never seen it before.
Yeah, and
well, thank you,
Leonard Nimoy, the great as he is, because you know, he was probably the most mesmerizing one in it, because I mean Spock. Yeah. Spock isn't supposed to have great reactions anyway, so he's the one who's most obviously awesome because Spock's not supposed to go, wow, he's supposed to just,
fascinating.
Of course, and then there's the great late DeForest Kelly. He's great. No matter what he does, he goes, they drafted me.
That's so great. Yeah, they sucked him on the ship and he didn't want to be there. Like, what have we done? I retired, Jim.
Yeah, he goes, he comes in with this, looks like a jumpsuit.
Yeah, with a big collar, like 70s collar. Style.
Well, it was the 70s. they drafted me. And you can see he's got this great, I mean, it looks like he came off the disco.
Yeah, it does.
It's awesome. Great big beard. He looks like he's wearing his little disco chain necklace. I love it.
It's ridiculous. It's so funny. And then he gets all shaved up and still doesn't get uniformed.
And so he's like, Jim, did you miss me? I mean, the way he's talking to me. So I just loved him. And then, of course, Shatner. He was like
he's very Shatner in this movie.
Oh, very much. He came around with T.J. Hooker in this whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he was right at the time. You could see it. He's almost in between the Shatner that we knew through the 80s and the Shatner that we knew through the T.J. Hooker days. You know, he's kind of like that. That's very Shatner-ish. You know, he looks a little bit like he did in the TV show, but not much. You know, his hair became very, I don't know, for years people talk about him wearing a toupee, and he did. In the back part and all that, you know, which, by the way, a lot of them did. It was. I mean, Walter Culling, Chekhov, he had to. I mean,
you can kind of tell.
Well, now he has to, definitely.
Yeah.
And by the way, happens. The first couple of episodes, they did not because they necessarily had to at the time, but because they were trying to make him look like Davy Jones of the Monkees. And
right.
They really did.
They did.
That's why they hired him.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the young and hip Russian guy.
And they said, we want him to look like Davy Jones.
Yep.
And so that's why they hired him. What it was.
I wonder if they made any Teen Idol posters of him or anything.
Oh, I don't know, but
wouldn't that be a weird thing, a vintage thing to find?
And like they wanted him to be Russian because what he was trying to do is show, talking about Gene Roddenberry, was trying to go for a world peace type of thing.
It's like the world, like we could all get together and be behind this one thing that we can explore space.
The Final Frontier.
Indeed.
These are the voyages of Starship Enterprise. Its mission.
Continuing mission in 5 years.
That's right, 5 year mission.
So, all right. So the other thing we like to do is, what have you been playing? Now,
well, I've been watching. I was going to say I've been watching.
You've been watching your Cocoon movies.
I've been watching Cocoon because I.
There's your '80s throwback.
It took me a while to get them. I've been trying to get them for years, but every time I went to get them, I tried to buy them years and years ago at Walmart. And when I went back to get them, because I didn't have the money first time I saw them, went back to get them, and they were gone. Mm. So I tried to get them online, and someone was trying to sell them for $100. And I was like, I'm not doing that. So for years, every time I tried to get it, I would almost get it, someone buy it out from under me, and then the other person would be trying to sell it for a lot of money. And I'm like, I just couldn't do it. So the other day, I was able to get them both for not that much. I don't know, it was like 12, I think, for both of them. I was able to get it. And finally... And the main reason why it made me jump on board was because I was really excited. I thought I wasn't going to have to buy them. I was all excited because, you know, a lot of times on HBO Max or whatever it's called, they bring movies on there together and all of them.
Yeah.
And they did finally. And it was Cocoon, The Return. And I'm like, oh, well, what's the point?
Where's the first one?
So yeah. Finally, I was like, well, what the heck? I'll look. And luckily, they had them together again for real cheap. I may have
seen The Return more than I've seen the first one, because I remember that's where the kid wants to go with Grandpa and everything.
Well, he did them both. But in reality, I like the first one better. That one was directed by
Ron Howard.
Ron Howard. Yeah. And he wasn't able to do the second one because he was directing Willow.
Willow, yeah. This is a little indie film called Willow with some George Lucas guy.
Yeah,
you probably never heard of him. Yeah.
They're both good, but both of them. I like the first one a smidge better. It does matter who directs. I'm not saying anything against the second one or the director, but it's not quite as serious, but it's still good.
Yeah, I may have to borrow this from you and watch it. Yeah. We'll have to do an episode about the Cocoon movies.
Yeah, what I love is the message, basically, about... that just because you're old doesn't mean you're out.
Right.
And I like that.
Yeah.
I love that message anyway.
Yeah. Especially as we're getting older ourselves. I mean, I'm about to turn 45 this month.
Well, tell you the truth while I'm watching it. I was always very close to my grandparents.
Yeah.
My grandpa, I mentioned this before, my grandpa's one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. My grandma, too. And really, Jeremy is grandma and grandpa. Really, yep. All of the people, the older ages that I grew up with in the church, I'm a pastor of the church, and I look out and I still remember those people.
Yeah.
I think people need to be respected. It doesn't even matter what their age is.
Yeah.
And when I look at these people were of the generation of my grandma and grandpa, the greatest generation, they call them, in the World War II. And when I think about how so many people of our newer generation, they don't think about that as much. This is not to say I know what they're thinking, but I'm talking about by our actions we are known.
Yeah.
And so I think we ought to respect the generations and really come to know and show them how much we appreciate them. That's all.
Yep.
Yep.
So yeah, we'll have to do an episode on Cocoon, but I need to watch him again because it's been so long.
Brian Dennehy is so great.
You know,
there's so many good actors.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Wilford Brimley.
Wilford Brimley.
And diabetes.
I didn't know how much younger he was than we knew.
Oh, yeah.
He was like in his late 40s when he was doing those films.
Yeah.
But he's like just a little bit older than me.
And speaking of Grandpa Jones, when I started watching with 69, you can see from his skin, he's not really that old, but I think it was part of his comedic character thing that he did. And I think that's what Hee-Haw was. It was a mixture of a bunch of country-style comedians and performers of different sorts that they put them all together in their own show, and it was just corny jokes. And I don't know why I didn't realize until this past week that when they would tell their corniest jokes is when they would do it in the cornfield.
Oh, yeah, that's what
it was.
For
their corny jokes. It's like, oh, I get it. The corn jokes.
But we were little kids, like babies.
Yeah, we were just, you know, it's just funny stuff. And we like, I searched the world over and thought I found true love. You made another.
You were gone.
And we'd always remember that one.
And I remember John Ritter went out there and did that one time.
Oh, wow.
The whole time that they were doing it, he was going, the whole time.
And you know what? I was used to in the 80s, they'd spit on each other.
Oh, yeah.
In the 60s or whatever, they wouldn't. They didn't do that. It didn't come on until later.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my goodness. But on to what we've been playing, because I got to keep things moving.
Sure, sure.
And, of course, obviously, we've still been playing WWE 2K.
Oh, yeah. It's going to take a while.
Y'all, if you get on to the Neverland official gaming channel, we did an entire pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. I've edited it down to where there's not so much loading time. And there's no commentary from us. It's just a regular commentary. But I've got so many crazy fun characters. I've got another pay-per-view that's queued up ready for us to play as well. It's a couple of different shows. But I've been having fun making characters. I've been making He-Man characters. You've been making characters. But here's the thing. If you want to find some of the stuff we made, and if you would even like to download me and kick my butt... Because I know you want to.
Done.
If you do a search within the creator things, if you happen to have the new game, if you search for Spider-Pan, you should be able to find me. Now, I figured out how to change my username. And if you want to see, Philip makes all kinds of fun characters. And you're under Pastor PAC, right? Mm-hmm.
Pastor Pack.
Make sure you spell Pastor. You did spell Pastor correct this time,
yes, I guess.
With an O, because he actually, when he made his character, put it with an E instead of an O. It's pretty funny. I need to change it on mine, too, but I keep forgetting. I just get you in there.
I'm going to put it online and change some things around on that. So.
Yeah. But yeah, we're making a lot of fun characters. In fact, I have an entire arena based around the Phantom Nexus with our little logo. If you think that would be fun for you to download that arena, create a show around it, get me in there, and whoop my butt.
Have the title of that. The
It's the Phantom Nexus. The
Phantom Nexus title.
Yeah. So if that sounds like fun to you, feel free. I put it up there, and I
downloaded it.
If you put video up somewhere on YouTube of using that, and you or put a video of you kicking my butt, let me know. I want to see.
Oh, I want to see it.
Yeah. Share YouTube links with me. Send it to our email podcast@neverlandpodcast.com and say, hey, I kicked your butt. Well, hey, thank you. Thanks for downloading me so you can kick my butt. Because I know every once in a while you probably do, right? You just get sick of me. And you just want to kick my butt. You know, just
say nothing.
Either that or maybe you're just like, maybe you love me and you want to tag team with me, and I would be glad to tag team with you. We will make an awesome team. We will win the championship together. We'll go.
You are the champion, my friend.
So, but they're still working out some of the glitches and bugs. There's been updates like almost weekly here lately, and there's still a few bugs with the saving and stuff, I think, that, you know, has crashed out on the PS4. I guess on PS5, I don't think you're having as much trouble as I'm having.
Yeah,
on some
I don't
things.
Think quite as much. One thing I'll say is with a game like that, there's so much to it. Some people said all those games don't work. Listen, there's so much detail, so many things they do on those games. How could there not be some bugs?
Right. There's going to be bugs. I even had one today that I think it was me versus your brother-in-law.
Yes.
And I had a funny glitch where he kind of side to side. He wiggled.
And I'm the seizure man. I should be the one seizing.
Yeah, he totally seized up. It was funny. And I clipped it real fast.
It doesn't even bother me when I do it because... Yeah. I even purposely give myself... Look, I'm not making fun of anyone who has a seizure, but I can make fun of myself.
Yeah, because you have them.
I'm making fun of myself. So I purposely give myself, what do you call them, taunts? I give myself taunts so they could look a little bit like I'm wiggling around like a seizure.
Down. Yeah,
because, you know, it's the stuff I live with, unfortunately. Oh,
and that's even something I'm looking forward to. Somebody, you remember the Marvel, the White Rabbit?
Oh, yeah.
She's like a Spider-Man villainess.
Yeah.
Somebody had created her, and I downloaded her, and for some reason now she's been in two matches... But it'll be like a four-way or a three-way match, triple threat or fatal four, I guess I should say. Sorry.
Yeah.
But my wife will be involved. My wife is currently a champion. One of the champions. Aerith Gainsborough from Final Fantasy VII is my main champion of the Glow Show. But White Rabbit has now gotten two pins over on my wife, Heather. And this pay-per-view that I've got ready to roar and to play on... is finally, it's for the title. It is my wife and the White Rabbit. I'm kind of looking forward to see how this is going to go.
So it sounds like an Alice in Wonderland thing.
It does. It does.
She's chasing the White Rabbit.
But I'm looking forward to it. I think if I play as Heather, I will probably end up winning. But then again, I was playing as Heather the times that she's gotten pinned. So it's a chance she could lose this title.
You know what would be a great ring if we could make? I'm sure we could do it. If we put the, like, made cards on the, what do you call them? The buckles? Not the buckles, the paddings around the buckles. The
turnbuckles?
Turnbuckles. Have cards on that and then, you know, have it all around look like a Wonderland thing.
Oh, we totally could do that, you know.
That'd be great. Wonderland ring.
I bet somebody
ring.
Has, because I've got a grid, pardon me. Pardon me there, but I've actually downloaded and we played in it. The last review was where somebody made a really cool Return of the Jedi
that
themed
was great.
Arena.
That was great.
I'm right now. This current pay per view is an Pirates of the Caribbean arena.
Oh, great!
That looks
go.
Fantastic. But people have been making a lot of fun. You know, there's a lot of people who are just they're just wrestling junkies and they make a lot of wrestling rings. It's really cool. But all the fans that make themed ones, Marvel ones, great DC stuff. Ones. I even have one that I'm using. It is the VWA from the old NES Pro Wrestling.
But where'd the rum go?
We drank it before we got into the ring to try to numb the pain of beating each other senseless.
My
there we go.
Those guys really do get hurt a lot of
times. Yeah, they do.
Man,
it's a rough job.
Did
but
you ever see
it.
The? This is a real match. Did you ever see? I think it was one the first or one of the very first TLC matches where I can't remember who what his name was, where the table came up, boom, smacked the dude right in the nose. I mean, split the nose in pieces.
Ow.
It was terrifying. They had to take him out of the match.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
it was a tag team match. It was like four tag teams in there, and it came up and split his nose. I mean,
ow.
it was terrifying.
Ooh.
Oh, it was a great match, though.
Now that y'all are having a visual of having your nose hit by the table.
Oh, it was awful. It was terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of the stuff that they do that sometimes put themselves on the line.
Oh, they do.
Trying to entertain you, so you have to appreciate them.
Yeah.
Other things I've been playing, I finally sat down to play the infamous Resident Evil 6.
Oh, I haven't seen
that. Resident Evil 6 is infamous because after Resident Evil 4, because that was a big seller. That was Resident Evil 4. It's one of the best Resident Evil games they've made. They thought that the players wanted more of an action-style good game. And so they did Resident Evil 5, and it was, okay, well, this is a little different. This is very much action. Okay, I guess it's different. So I didn't play Resident Evil 6 because I played a demo and I didn't like it long ago, and then from what I heard, it's like, wow, they just went all out trying to make an action game, and it's just not Resident Evil, and they had to fix it all and revamp everything for Resident Evil 7 and Village and made it scary again. Resident Evil 6 ain't scary at all. It is a shooting gallery. I swear, you're just running. I started playing. I'm not really getting it. I mean, it's kind of amusing, but it's not one of the ones that I'm like getting all into or like, oh, I want to keep going. It's kind of like, well, all right, I got through that chapter. Well, let's go play wrestling some more. You know, it's a zombie shooting gallery, and I mean, they got some variety, but I mean, they've come up with a new virus. I believe it's a C virus. And instead of like your typical zombies, they got some that could jump at you, or they're smart enough that they're still zombies, but they'll carry a baseball bat or a shovel and try to hit you with it. And some, and one areas of the outbreak, it's some of like their SWAT teams or soldiers that were coming to deal with it that have become zombies, and they still have their guns. They don't have enough sense to point it at you, but they're sitting there just randomly shooting their guns around. I'm like, well, that's kind of interesting. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff put into the game to kind of make it fun, and it's worth, I guess, playing. But if you're a longtime fan of Resident Evil, you're probably not going to have as much fun. It's just not quite Resident Evil, you know. It's just weird. So, but yeah, but I'm playing it, and I don't know how long I'll take to go through it because I'm kind of playing it. Then I'll go play something else, and I'll play another bit of it, and I'll play something else.
I know that not long ago, it's about a week and a half ago, I was watching Tremors, the original. That's the one I love.
Fooled and, you.
Oh, yeah. I
that's
love that
inside
movie.
That's a joke.
While I was sitting there watching it, I was sitting there thinking, you know, it would be great if they could make a movie. I mean, a game
based off Tremors.
That would be. It would be like a Resident Evil thing, except you're being chased by the Tremors.
But by the worms.
I mean, like, suddenly.
Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, the original, actually did a big giant worm that was going under in the sewers that you have to fight with at one point.
Now, that would be fun.
Oh, it's kind of terrifying.
That's what I mean.
Its mouth would open up, like, blah, almost like a sandworm from Dune, man.
Well, there's a similarity.
Yeah.
In fact, when I first saw Tremors, I thought of that sandworm.
Sandworm, yeah. Same like Beetlejuice ripped off the sandworm, too.
Oh, yeah.
Sandworms. You hate them, right?
Yeah,
I really hate him myself.
Yeah. I can't do a good Beetlejuice voice. I'm sorry. It was not good, and I will freely admit to that.
Well, at least you sound a little bit like the cartoon one.
I thought it was almost a little bit like Barney from The Simpsons.
Or
hey, Homer!
Bobcat Goldthwait. Hey! Hey! No, that's Barney.
Well, I swear they ripped Barney off. They ripped off Bobcat Goldthwait for that Barney character. Yeah. I mean, goodness, it's hard to match him. But anyways, I guess we'll get into some news.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Okay, so I found an article from Insider.com where they have a list of some of the movies that they're excited about, of different scenes they were showing, and there's a photo from this upcoming Elvis movie that I think that's supposed to be like the comeback show. Like,
it is.
They filmed it in Hawaii, didn't they?
I don't remember if it was Hawaii. I know it was a big deal. It was a Christmas thing. Originally, his manager at the time wanted him to make it a Christmas. It was kind of a Christmas thing. It was the 68 special.
Yeah.
And he made a, basically it was supposed to be Christmas based. And there was only one song that he sang that was somewhat Christmas-like. But it was, because that's what originally was going to be, kind of Christmas-based. But he wanted to make it to where it could be seen all year long for the most part. But, but you know, think
this
back
was
then,
his return from the military, I believe.
Yeah, for the most part. And when he came back, you know, the Beatles were around. These are the day of the you know, more of the hippie generation. And he kind of missed out on a couple of years there where the only thing that his manager did do that worked out for the good was his manager had him record quite a few recordings, and every once in a while would release and keep him still releasing songs here and there. That did help.
Yeah, and keep him in the public eye.
Yeah, that really did help. Yeah. I have a movie about that that was made for television. It's pretty good. It has, I'll tell you who plays.
But anyways, I want to get the focus back on this
one. Okay, I was going to say,
you're chasing a rabbit.
Randy Quaid plays the manager.
He does a
great job.
I know they've done like a TV movie about
that. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's pretty good. But this one looks really good.
But this is a photo of this new upcoming Elvis movie. And there's this photo. I mean, it just looks like
it's lifted from the
TV
it.
Special. This looks really great.
Really look forward to it.
Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness coming out this week. Guess what? Provided everything goes correctly, we will be back next week. You will hear from us because it'll be Free Comic Book Day, and we'll go see Doctor Strange. Top Gun Maverick is scheduled for May 27th. Looking awesome. But there's a lot of different games. Jurassic World Dominion, June 10th. I know Phillip's really looking for that.
You ain't a kidding.
Lightyear, June 17th. I mean, a lot of this, and then there's the Elvis, June 24th. But a lot of the things that I was seeing for CinemaCon, they got to see clips and stuff of all these different movies. And every once in a while on social media, you might have heard, oh, we've announced something. But the only things that I got announced was stuff I was like, well, yeah. Like, another Ghostbusters movie is coming. Well, yeah, obviously they set it up. And then, of course, the Batman's getting a sequel. Well, yeah, obviously, they're going to build a new DC Extended Universe. There will be another Batman movie coming. Come on. So it's like all this news that I was getting, I wasn't getting that excited about it. I was like, well, yes, I know they're going to do it. So everybody was posting, oh, they announced they're going to make another Batman. Really? Did you not realize they were going to do it already? I mean, it's like, yeah, water is wet.
Yeah.
You know? This just in, grass stains your pants, you know? I mean, it's stuff that we know. It's like, yeah, we know. Thank you for announcing it at CinemaCon. But, yeah, the excitement on the social media was just like, I get it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing the next movie, but I'm not all that stunned, shocked, or whatever, like, or surprised that they announced it. Oh, by the way, we're going to make a sequel to that. Because, like, obviously we knew you were. Now I've just got to wait for you when you do it.
Well, you ended it on I don't know if you want to say cliffhanger. But you ended it on almost on announcement. Batman. It was like, but Ghostbusters as well. I don't know if you want to say that it was obvious, but it was in a sense like a, oh, wink, wink, wink.
yeah, we'll have more with Batman. Behind a Joker. Well, the one thing that was announcement that I guess we weren't expecting. Now, granted, we kind of expect the MCU is just going to keep going, Marvel Cinematic Universe, but. Kevin Feige did announce that they've got plans for at least 10 more years of MCU, which, of course, provided the momentum keeps going. Now, there is some concerns that they might end up killing their momentum, by some changes they're doing. And I even watched a video. I don't watch this guy that often because it's one of those videos where they want kind of complains about everything. But it did make some solid points of how they're changing over. They want to have more women heroes, and but they're not building them in a proper way to make them good heroes. They're establish their women characters in a wrong way by they teach themselves how to be better than the men, and Well, basically, he had a whole sequence. Like, do you realize that nearly every Marvel male hero has been hit in the groin by a woman that they're trying to make stronger? And like they go into it. But he listed out, here's nearly every woman brought in there who is self-taught. I just taught myself, and now I'm just better than all the men. That's not how you make a good hero character. So, but that seems like that's the direction they're going. They're going to give us all these female characters, but they're not going to make them good characters. Kind of like Captain Marvel. They kind of messed that up there. But, and they're not looking over what Warner Brothers did with that Wonder Woman movie, which was fantastic. They got it right. And then they made the Wonder Woman 1984, and you're like, what happened?
There's things about it I liked. Yeah, but they
blew it in a lot of ways.
A part of the reason was, for me at least, part was, and I'm not trying to pick on the actor, but they spent half their time trying to make fun of a public individual with one of the characters. And they did. That was their point.
Yeah.
They even said that.
They get so far in agenda, they're not telling us a good story anymore and making good characters.
Mm.
And Marvel needs to go through. It's like, you know what? What makes a good hero character? And they're giving us some of the newer ones, but, you know, there's some established characters. When we get some X-Men,
newer ones or newer ones? I didn't
hear. No, some of the newer ones. I mean,
yeah.
there's some great potential characters. They can, if they get into the get some X-Men going, because I mean, who is the woman among all women of Marvel? Who is the top? The Invisible Woman of the Fantastic Four.
Absolutely.
Storm. I mean, some of them.
Jean Grey.
Yeah. I mean, you've got some good old fashioned, been around a long time women Rogue. That a lot of us would be excited to see. But if they mess it up,
they never did do Rogue right on the last round. They did.
They didn't do bad, but they didn't go far enough to where she got all the powers that she would get.
They didn't do the Marvel Girl thing.
Yeah, but they could now. They have Captain Marvel out there. They could have Rogue absorb all of her powers.
That would be,
and then we get a Rogue that like we had in the 90s.
That's the way it ought to be, man. Because
that's what we're used to.
You know, I love Rogue.
A strong Rogue that could fly.
I love Rogue, man. Rogue
smash
is
some people. Rogue is awesome.
Rogue is still my favorite of all those gals, man. She was just
Rogue
so cool.
Was awesome. Yeah.
And
they had more to them than their
get
powers.
The Gambit story and her, because her and Gambit were just, they were just great together. Because Gambit was mon ami. I mean, he was just cool.
He's such a flirt. And then she's like, oh, she was attracted, but I can't touch you. You know what happens if I touch somebody?
I'll kill him.
Yeah.
You know, and
the last guy, first boy I kiss, I put in a coma.
And I want to see a real Southern accent, too. I don't even know what they were trying to do, but I want to see.
Well, she
kind of
had one.
I just want to see the real story between them all. And I've been talking about all of them.
Yeah. I want to see it happen. But I want to see them done, you know, done a service. Because it's not just, shouldn't be just
years.
About, oh, well, we're just so happy to have representation. Like, yeah, well, you deserve a better hero to represent you.
Yeah, and the thing is,
you need a good character.
I like those films all right, I guess. It's just that, to me, this is just me speaking, but I think a hero is someone who has to go through the hard times.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to quote Dusty Almsworth's shirt today.
Hard times.
I'm not trying to say that you have to go through, but the hard times a lot of times what makes you a hero.
Yeah. And heck, even the Batman, he went through such a character growth. It takes him a long time, but then when you see him emerge and become, instead of just, I am vengeance, to, I got to save these people and sacrifice myself nearly. He nearly dies trying to save people. It's like he became Batman.
I recently watched Rocky, which is to me.
Oh, I watched Rocky. I forgot I was going to bring that up for something. I watched that Rocky IV.
Rocky and Karate Kid, directed by the same man, by the way.
Yes.
But the thing is Karate Kid, when you watch it, he was a little bit whiny in the beginning of it. And Rocky, same way, not that he was a whiny guy, but that they both had to go through a lot of hard times in order to get there to the top of the mountain.
To become who they were going to be.
Exactly.
Even Superman had a learning curve.
That's right. That's right. And in order to get to where you got to be, you a lot of times will have to climb and go through a lot of work and go through, and that, I love that. I don't want to see someone just, by the way, here you go.
I get to be awesome just because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what they're doing. And I hadn't realized that Moon Knight, I'm loving Moon Knight.
Oh, me too.
But they've been a little guilty. And I hadn't thought of it until he pointed out. It's like, you realize the main character, the main hero, we're not seeing Moon Knight except for up to the fourth episode. He says, like, you realize if you time it out, he's had about 4 minutes of screen time in the costume.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've had more time with Stephen Lang, an alternate personality who's kind of a wuss.
Yeah.
And that, but that gives opportunity for the female character, Layla, that we didn't know anything about, to her be the strong one. And it's like, well, we're making it a Layla series a little too much there. But I think you're getting back on track. I think Moon Knight, I still feel, is pretty well balanced.
Yeah.
And I'm expecting in the final episode we're going to see a lot more of him in the Moon Knight costume and actually being Moon Knight.
Because they're trying to get the inner character to get balanced
and
out.
And this fifth episode was wild and weird and cool.
Oh, was that there? But I really liked it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. But they're doing a nice mental study. But you know, so, but it was pointed out, it's like, we seem to see more of Stephen Lang, who is not capable of stuff, so Layla can shine more. It's like, you know, we're passing it more to her than we are. And we want to see Moon Knight. So
I will say this, though. I'm talking about on a personal perspective. Watching Stephen Lang go through what he went through and all that stuff helped me. Personally.
Well, really, when you Mark Spector, what he's gone through with the abuse of mother. No, well, I don't want to say too much. I'm spoiling things.
No, but I mean Stephen, because watching him react the way he does helped me as a person, because I'm a very timid person sometimes. I don't mean to be, but watching him kind of helped me, because I realized that you need to. It's good to be kind and nice, but don't be quite so timid. And that's helped me.
Be kind, but don't be a doormat.
Yeah. And so recently, going through all that, watching him, I'm not saying he taught me, because it just so happened at the exact same time when I'm watching this show, a few other things was happening in my life. And while someone tried to say something to me, and I'm like, no, not having that happen. Mm. And I was right as I happened, I watched the show, and I was like, oh, you see, there's times I've acted a little too much like that Steven character, and I'm not letting that happen anymore. So it just so happens that as I'm watching the show, I'm realizing that the Steven character in some ways taught me what not to be.
But somebody give Oscar Isaac an Emmy. Holy cow.
Oh, my goodness. He's a heck of an actor.
My goodness. Oh, it's like all the different characters he has to play in one thing. Like, I was like,
and I gotta say,
that's amazing.
I love the computer effects on that hippo. How cute and adorable.
Yes.
I love that character. I don't know who it was who did the voice. How adorable. It was great.
One thing that I still, the best visual that I think I've seen is, I think it was episode 3 or 4, when he when Moon Knight in the full costume, and he jumps off of like that glass pyramid, and his cape actually does the moon shape, like what they always draw him in the comics.
Yeah, I loved it
when he went into that shape with the cape. I was like, yes,
that's perfect.
Oh, it was so great. I always remember that visual,
and I felt like it was so good. Really bringing the comic book to life. Like,
yeah,
I always wanted to see it.
In a lot of ways, they did. They did a great job.
And this is just a personal thing, but I felt like it was. Like drawings and stuff I drew as a kid. Not of that character, but of other characters and stuff that I would come up with and you would come up with, Jeremy.
Yeah.
And it was like watching the comic books and pictures I've drawn a million times, like watching it in front of me on the television. And I was like, wow,
that's
this is
awesome.
Like something that I wanted to see my whole life, at least the last 30 years. I was like, and here it is, I'm getting to see it, and I know it sounds corny, but
that's what we want.
I want that kind of stuff. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So I'm loving the show.
And I
look forward to the moment I wake up on Wednesday morning, boom, I got to go to it.
I got to work, though, so I got to wait. I've been watching sometimes, like Friday when I work from home, I'll try to eat breakfast and watch it before I start.
I got
to
be honest. There's been times at midnight, Tuesdays,
like,
I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I got to sleep so I can work.
I can't do it.
I have to work for a living. Yeah, there are some things I have concerns about Marvel Comics and some things that that they're doing that we're going to get to with Free Comic Book Day. I'll talk about that later, which there's some other weird stuff. But anyways. Something else I saw, this is kind of sad. The Circle K that we use in Bill and Ted is closing down. And Alex Winters said a very tweeting tweet that we all just dust in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things afoot in the Circle K no longer.
That's right.
And I guess it was in, where was it? It's somewhere in Arizona.
Yeah. It would have
been nice to visit it before it comes down.
To me, that is.
I bet a lot of people are going to visit before it gets torn down.
That is the. Probably the most famous Circle K.
Oh, that is the most famous Circle K, clearly.
Yeah, I love that place because so how many memories? But you know, at least we got the memories still.
Yeah, we got the memories.
That's right.
Ah, here, something else is a fun memory. And I've got an article on it to pull up as well from Ghostbusters News. Has a lot of stuff. There's a feller in Canada. He's got a website and a YouTube channel. But Hook and Ladder number 8 there in New York City, they were given a Ghostbusters sign a while back, and they have officially lit it up.
Oh, now that is awesome.
Now, this is, of course, the firehouse used in the first movie.
Yeah.
And the second movie, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But they were given one in celebration for the theatrical release of Ghostbusters Afterlife. And it's been put out on display. And it actually, they got a photo of it here of it at night. Got it lit up.
That's tremendous. That's great. That's
fantastic. I mean, and there's a GoFundMe page, I guess, that's set up to where you can help to donate. They got a special thing going on. Hang on. They exceeded their original goal when they were trying to raise money for the sign. I think there's something special they're trying to raise money for, too. They want to do an annual fundraiser for the firehouse. We've worked with the firehouse to determine something that they need, and this year we are raising funds for a vending machine to be placed inside the firehouse for the crew to enjoy. So they're raising money, I guess, because I figure it's still a working firehouse.
Oh, it is, from what I understand.
So they're taking care of the fire department over there, because, like, you're working in a very special precinct.
Yes, absolutely.
Indeed.
And in New York, isn't that right?
Yeah.
In New York City, those people are busy all the time, having to protect all those people all the time. Yes, that's indeed. A big, big city.
Okay, well, we're in a new month, which means I get to talk about some of the new games. Let me look and see if there's anything. I haven't looked at this list to see if there's... Riff Tracks the Game.
What is it?
Riff Tracks the Game. That's the people who are behind Mystery Science Theater 3000 who do Riff Tracks. Oh. They have a game on PC, PS4, Switch, Xbox One. It's a party game.
We were just talking about Mystery Science Theater 2000.
Holy cow. Let's see if there's anything else that I'm excited about. Listed.
You know, I'm excited about the Call of Duty I was telling you about.
Evil Dead, the game. There you go.
Oh, yes. I want to try that.
Coming May 13th. No. I think it's going to be based more off from carrying over from the television series.
Probably. I didn't like that as much as I did.
Streets of Rage 4 is being brought to Android and iPhone. I think I'd rather play it on a console. A My Little Pony Maritime Bay Adventure. For those of you... Oh, Pac-Man Museum Plus.
Yes, I was wanting to try
May 27th. Heck yeah.
You know I'm a Pac-Man nut.
Lots of Pac-Man. Oh, wow.
Right in time for your birthday.
Yes, indeed. So if somebody wants to buy me a Pac-Man set for my PlayStation, I'm happy. But yeah, there's a lot of other different things, but not anything that I've really heard much about.
We need to look into that Godzilla thing I told you about.
Believe me, it's coming. Disney Mirrorverse. Now, there's already toys of this out. But there's also a mobile game coming. There we go.
Beyond the worlds familiar to you, there exists another. Oh. Born of powerful stellar magic. A universe reflected from the familiar, yet different. Perilous. The Mirrorverse. At its center lies the Stellar Mirror, with malevolent forces seeking to shatter its power. Guardians stand together, united against this unrelenting threat. As the darkness closes in, all must fight to protect the Mirrorverse and save all the worlds beyond.
So you can pre-register now at DisneyMirrorverse.com, but this is going to be a mobile game. As I mentioned, and I was even talking to a guy at GameStop about this, but there's already McFarlane Toys has already released figures.
I've seen that.
Their Disney characters kind of doing different type of things, and he says he was pretty excited. So that there's a Mickey he's like a sorcerer Mickey, but he's like a cool looking sorcerer Mickey, because I guess he wasn't cool looking before. I don't know.
Oh, I always thought he was cool looking.
Yeah, but I guess it's like an enhanced. But all these new different toys are all coming around. Okay, I'm gonna skip that next story. That I was talking to Philip about that one earlier, and I was like, I didn't know if that seemed to what we wanted to get into, because it's not a fun story. So I'm going to go back to more fun stories. The Force Unleashed.
which, did you ever get to play that?
I played a little bit with y'all. I know Seth and I talked about it for years.
Yeah, I had it on my Xbox 360. It has been released on Switch by Aspyr. They're the same ones who brought Knights of the Old Republic over to the Switch. Now, what I've seen, though, on this, this is the Nintendo Wii version of the game.
Oh, okay.
So the graphics are not as good, and it's got some motion controls, but you can shut those off.
So it's Wii worse?
Yeah, Star Wars Wii Wars. But if you've never played The Force Unleashed, I'm going to encourage you. It's $20 right now. I've already got it on a different system, so I'm not really that concerned about buying it for the Switch right now. But if you've never played The Force Unleashed, or if you just need another copy, go ahead and pick it up. But it is, keep in mind that if you've played it on like an Xbox 360 or on a PS3, it has been downgraded because the Wii was not as powerful as the other systems, and they just brought over that version. Winston, I have Winstead. Oh my goodness. Winston is being added to the Sega. Did you ever play the Sega Genesis Ghostbusters game?
Oh, yeah, I did, yeah.
Well, for some reason, Winston was not in the game.
Why? So,
don't know why. It just didn't make any sense. Probably because they didn't have they didn't have enough memory space to do any more than three playable characters. And instead of just modding and doing a cover up of one of the characters to make it look like Winston, they just flat out just added Winston in on a mod. This is not official. This is a fan-made thing, so I'm not going to tell you how to get it because it's not technically legal.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but it's just kind of cool that somebody took the time to do that. So I've got another PCGamesIn.com. Well, I got to click the right thing here. Captain's Log, The Last Voyage of Trigon, a Space Story. Now, why did I grab this? There was something specific about this that I thought I'd grabbed. Something called Captain's Log, Trigon. I feel like I clicked this and it was something else when I was grabbing this thing. It's something on PC Games. I guess something. I heard something about this game, but now I don't remember what I heard about it. Yeah. Well, yeah. Was this supposed to be a Star Trek style game? I guess not. I don't know. I don't remember what it was, so I'm just going to move on. But I had the link here. Okay, here. I'm going to go ahead and bring this up. I was going to bring this up maybe later. And Free Comic Book Day. Pardon me, I had to clear my throat a little bit. But, okay, so there's a couple of things going on that this is what keeps me from getting too far back into comics. So, Moira McTaggart, friend of Charles Xavier, at some point they've turned her into like a killer cyborg. She's skinless. So ooh. What she does is she goes around, okay, she's a machine underneath now. She skins people alive and wears their skin.
Oh my goodness! Like a not Hannibal Lecter. What was
The guy from Silence of the Lambs? Yes.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Yes, kind of doing that. Well, I guess, and it might have been an issue of X-Men. I don't know where someone was showing, you know, showed the drawings of it, but his latest victim appears to be Mary Jane. And from the sounds of things, on Free Comic Book Day, we're going to see, I guess, where this goes. But apparently, Mary Jane is about to get skinned. Oh, and because you're skinned alive, she's going to somehow be alive without her skin, and maybe they're going to make a weird point. I don't know what they're doing exactly with that. But if that's not weird enough,
stuff they did with the Joker.
Yeah, it's, you know, they're doing weird stuff for shock value to try to make it spend money. The other weird thing is, and I was kind of excited about this, seeing that John Romita Jr. was coming back to Amazing Spider-Man. Because I enjoyed his run. I mean, he's got a very... I didn't always enjoy his style back when he was doing Uncanny X-Men back in the 90s. But I've grown to like his unique style. But his comeback was Amazing Spider-Man number one. We needed another volume, I guess. And in this particular issue, Peter is kind of watching after Mary Jane. They're not together anymore. But Mary Jane is married to some guy named Paul and has two kids. Yeah, don't mess with this stuff, please. That's all I got to say. So this is why I'm going to go through. I want to collect the rest of the Nick Spencer run, because Nick Spencer was writing some awesome Spider-Man. I want to collect the rest of that, and because I want to read it all. But then I'm tired of them messing with my Spider-Man and my Mary Jane.
You guys probably couldn't hear my eyes rolled.
Yeah. I mean, I had enough of the One New Day thing, which they had to kind of make up for those sins. And like, why do you all never learn to not mess with things? But something else. This was a lot of fun. So it's a YouTube channel called Corridor, and they took some weird time of editing and some special effects and put the Adam West Batman into some scenes from The Batman.
I watched that earlier. Trailer,
and it's so funny.
It's great.
It is fantastic.
I don't think I can
play the audio because I yeah, there's a behind the scenes video. You can watch them do it. I was
watching that, yeah.
And then they have the finished product. You can watch the trailer. They did
a great job.
They did.
The way they put Burgess Meredith.
Yeah, and all the Meredith in there.
Oh, he was so great. I was watching a couple days ago. And even
get the Riddler from there. Frank Yorshin. Yeah.
I'd forgotten about something in the a couple days back. I think I sent it to you, but I remember it now. Watching
you sent
it,
me a thing, and I'd already seen it. Actually, within the last couple of weeks, I was watching.
It was
that.
Just kind of an interesting thing, and I'd forgotten all about it. But I remember now seeing it way back when.
Yeah, Adam West giving his opinion about Michael Keaton in 1989,
and he hadn't gotten to see it yet.
Yeah,
and he said, "Oh, I'm going to wait till I see it." And they all went out and saw the film, and later on, because I remember seeing it after he saw it, you know. And of course, you know, he said, "Ours, of course, is the best Batman because that's kind of his, you know, wry humor." And
yeah,
but 1989. And ours is the best version of Batman. You know, of course, you're going to say that. But in reality, I forgot just how many people were against Batman when it came out in 89.
Yes. A lot of people were like, Michael Keaton, but I want a big Batman. He's too skinny.
Yeah.
See, I think he was skinny. Look at Robert Pattinson.
Of course, they hadn't seen it yet.
Right.
And no one had seen it yet. And they, at the time, I remember now, a lot of people really thought that rubber or armor or whatever was supposed to be real muscle. I remember this being a big deal. They thought that they were trying to put that on as real muscle. And I remember Stallone even making a big deal about it, that this is the problem, that people are going to think,
you know, because I have real muscle and this guy ain't got no muscle.
They actually tried him out as Batman, but they, you know, that's not who they're looking for. They weren't looking for, or they tried him out as Superman or whatever it was, but he wasn't the actor they were looking for.
Yeah, he would have been weird.
He just would. He's not. I mean, I love.
And even though, like, I remember some girl in that video was thinking that she wanted Arnold Schwarzenegger. She wanted a big guy. It's like, but what are you going to do about his heavy accent?
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
I'll come back and kill him as Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord help us.
That would have been bad. That would have been so bad.
Well, you know, the thing is the muscle isn't everything.
Yeah.
We love you, but.
Yeah. But definitely go find Corridor's YouTube channel and find that. You will laugh. It is so good. They did a great job. Oh, something else that I found out.
What's that, pray tell?
Now, I wish I had more detail. We've been talking about it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge.
Yes.
They are aiming at a summer release. They've officially said it will be out this summer. Also, there was a kind of an interesting thing. Lego is making something called Brick Tales. And, oops. All right, come out of there.
Brick Tales.
They're getting in my way here. But Lego Brick Tales, and it's another game that's based around just their initial Lego type of sets. And so you've got adventures you can have. In a way, from the looking at some of the pictures, there's an announcement trailer. It looks like it might be a follow up to the Lego Dimensions, but you can actually build your items in this. And instead of, like, you know, in the normal Lego games, you just kind of hold a button and it builds it for you. This, you can assemble your things. It shows you the pieces, and you build your vehicles and all your different items yourself. So this is more aimed at people who are just huge fans of Lego, building things.
Brick Tales. Ooh.
Yeah.
I couldn't help it.
Now, I don't know when that's coming out, but that's been announced, and I know it is coming at least to Nintendo, because that's where I found the article.
That's fun.
Also, the Sonic Origins release date has been set for June 23rd.
Now, is this the game?
Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC. Sonic Origins has a little trailer out there you can find on YouTube, but this is a new collection, 4 remaster games, including Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic CD, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and Sonic 3 and Knuckles. Sonic Origins includes added features, modes, and more.
Now, when we were young, who on earth would have ever thought that the Sonic games would be going to Nintendo?
Well, yeah, Sega.
I know.
They failed with their Dreamcast, and so they end up being bought by Nintendo.
But isn't that funny? So. And we never would have thought.
But they're better
at
making games than they are consoles.
Yeah,
they are. They realized it, so.
They are. And, you know, the thing is it is kind of unique to see. It would be. It's like whenever we had Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny teaming up on Roger Rabbit. We never would have thought that. When we were really young, we never would have thought that. I mean, I was 11 when the Roger Rabbit movie came out, and you were just turned 11. Yeah. So it was like, who would have thought, though, that these, what do you want to call it, enemies, if you will, that those who are compete.
Who would have known we'd gotten Daffy and Donald dueling pianos?
Oh, that was the best. That was, I love that scene. They're both absolutely nutty.
Hey, you guys got a spare? I don't know, but I don't have one, but I think Bugs does. I got one, but I don't think you want it.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I love it.
Love it.
That's awesome stuff. I love it.
Come on in. We're nightmares on the best part of my day.
But in order to keep the show moving, it's time to go to the training park.
Mama, now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him, Mom. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
You know, I thought somewhere in there I would have the trailer for the Call of Duty is doing Operation Monarch, and it's going to have like that Godzilla versus King Kong thing.
Yeah, that's the one I can't wait
to see. Maybe that's in my trailer park, because I remember looking at it.
Boy, that looks good.
But I actually had something I went to cover a while back. This is called The Sea Beast. It's coming to Netflix.
For a sailor, a map tells of seas to be explored. Of great reward.
Ooh.
And great peril. But it's where the map ends that the true adventure begins.
It's below us.
A hunting ship ain't no place for a kid.
You're amazing.
I like this kid.
Them pictures of me books come to life.
where it's out there in the vast unknown that we find who we truly are. No.
Don't worry.
There's one of them things within a mile of us.
I'll sense it. Maybe a little off my game here.
Some great animation on that.
July 8th, coming to Netflix. This is from Academy Award winning filmmaker Chris Williams, who brought you Moana and Big Hero 6. The Sea Beast takes us where the map ends and the true adventure begins, starring Carl Urban, Zaris Angel Hater, Jared Harris, Marianne Jean-Baptiste, Dan Stevens, and Kathy Burke. In an era when terrifying beasts roamed the seas, monster hunters were celebrated heroes, and none were more beloved than the great Jacob Holland. But when young Maisie Brumble stows away on his fabled ship, he's saddled with an unexpected ally. Together, they embark on an epic journey into uncharted waters and make history. This looks, I just came across that, and it looks like it might be some fun.
That actually looks like it could have been a theatrical thing, more than some that they brought out recently.
We're getting a lot of stuff that's being put straight to streaming, because, you know, people are slowly getting back to theaters, but there's a lot of movies that are still taking.
Slow but sure.
Here's something that you can watch it on YouTube, and I'm only bringing this as almost a, somebody wanted it. Here we go. I got to show this to you. You're gonna lose your stuff here.
Oh, boy.
Okay, the visuals are not working for some reason.
Fred, people are dying. And you just want to run into danger head first and throw caution to the wind?
Why is this so important to you? What could possibly be worth risking all of our lives?
I know we don't know each other, but in order to face what's coming, we need each other.
With everything going on right now, who can you really trust?
Okay, because it seems to be mostly we're getting some music, and I don't want to have a copyright strike put on us. This is a thing called Mystery Incorporated, but it's being done independently through Indiegogo. And I want to tell you, this has already been released. If you really want to see this, Mystery Incorporated, it's on YouTube. They now have 627,000 views on this thing, which I guess it shouldn't surprise me. Because, all right, I would have thought it weird with Riverdale. That's a very serious, darker-toned Archie. This is Mystery Incorporated. This is the Scooby Gang taken as realistic and dark, and Scooby doesn't talk because he's just a freaking dog. They took everything you love about Scooby-Doo and threw it away to remake it as a realistic and serious. And basically, Shaggy doesn't even sound like Shaggy. Although I have seen some when the visuals weren't working on this thing when I was trying to show this to Philip here. But he is still cowardly. I mean, but they took the humor and the fun out of Scooby-Doo and made this. But apparently, a lot of people were wanting to see it. And I figured I had to at least stick it out there. Yeah, jinkies. moving on from that nightmare.
I hope they Scooby snacks.
I don't know, but Shaggy's probably still going to be a pothead. Hey, I did find this. This is, you know, this weekend, so here we go.
What is grief? If not love, persevering.
Part of the madness of the multiverse is we get to see different realities. And we see different versions primarily of Doctor Strange, but we do see other versions of Wanda Maximoff.
I think WandaVision was this journey of her for the first time taking her own life into her own hands. And it was fun transitioning from her experience to this movie.
You could use an Avenger.
There are other Avengers.
We'll get you back on the lunchbox. What do you know about the multiverse?
We wanted to satisfy the WandaVision fans and take them to the next level with a character they love.
It was fun just looking at it from a different perspective.
The multiverse. Viz had his theories. He believed it was dangerous.
We need your help. It's magical. She owns that character so well. It's a very powerful performance with a very powerful character.
In the multiverse, there are alternate versions of everyone. It gives the characters a unique opportunity to meet themselves, to recognize qualities that they may have been blind to.
The fate of the multiverse depends on us.
Okay, so this was a featurette focusing on Wanda. Now, the reason why I also want to bring this up is there's people suspecting this is we're going to get a bait and switch, and this is going to feel like a Wanda movie more than a Doctor Strange movie. Because even looking at the poster, who is front and center? Wanda. The new Thor poster. Who's on there? Not Thor. Jane Foster Thor. So, but what I find very interesting about this little teaser that they put online is she looks straight at the camera intentionally. I wonder what's up with that. And the other thing that's kind of got me all excited, because we've been hearing Charles Xavier's voice in there. But have you seen this new trailer thing or the commercial where you see the yellow floating chair kind of floating in and you hear Patrick Stewart's voice? It's like the Charles Xavier's from the
reason
comics.
The reason why Wanda, I think, is so vital in this is not even necessarily because she's the main character, but because she is the main connection to bringing all universes together to make the multiverse. She is basically the plot, not plot hole, but the one who's basically being a patch
The MacGuffin.
That's the word. Yeah. She's basically, you could call it even the super glue to put it all and bring and catching it all together. So the thing is, I know there's some people say, oh, we just want all the old cast of X-Men. Well, you can't really do that because not just because of the obvious. I mean, you know how much I love
Patrick Stewart. Like, oh, yeah.
I love Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
I love Hugh Jackman, all that. But in reality, it's time for them. And they can even, it's just like what they're doing with the DC, too, is I love Michael Keaton. And I'm glad they're using him now because we've had enough of the other actors. But it's time in this case. You can show those characters, and it's great. You can see Hugh Jackman, all them, and see them go and hand it over to someone else. Yeah. You can literally see that.
With this concept of the multiverse, and what we've seen established now with Spider-Man, is all these different versions of X-Men, just like the same with the different versions of Spider-Man, are now part of a different multiverse thing. Yeah. So you can play with it. So I'm wondering what all they can do. Because maybe by seeing the yellow chair, are we maybe going to have like a 90s cartoon-style X-Men that are actually...
That's what I want.
Ooh.
I want it, man. I want
the. I'm turning to Ric Flair.
Woo, woo, baby, woo. But I want to see. Let me tell you something, son.
Let me tell you.
No, but I want to see. I want to see the X-Men's style. I want to see that. I want to see the floating chair.
Yeah.
I want to see. Look, man. I'm old school. I don't mind saying it. I want to see the night. Not. It doesn't have to be just like the cartoon, but I do want to see a different kind of Cyclops and Wolverine. I want to see Wolverine with the mask on.
Sure.
Because we've had Wolverine without the mask and all that.
And you can make the mask look good. I've seen fan films where they've done them and they can look good.
And you know what else? He didn't have to wear it all the time.
Yeah.
But I would like to see him wearing the leather jacket, even with the kind of like the pilot thing.
Man.
You know what I'm saying, Bub?
Yeah.
I want to see.
There's so much we could set.
I want to see it. I want to see all of it, man.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, I can understand with the X-Men, the way it was. In the year 2000, if it hadn't been for the X-Men, people a lot of times like to give Blade the credit. And it had its own thing. But X-Men was the first big comic book.
The people knew who they were.
Yeah, because Blade was kind of its own.
I only knew who Blade was because he was in the Spider-Man animated series.
But the thing
hunting Morbius down.
I knew about him mostly because of stuff like Comic Scene, Wizard, and stuff like that.
Because they never seemed to get that character popular, and then Wesley Snipes, though, being Wesley Snipes, made him cool.
He was good.
Yeah.
But the truth is X-Men was a big comic book
title. Yeah, it was.
So
that was Marvel's first real big live-action movie in theaters.
They
were trying
to be somewhat serious, though, so that they did have them in tights and all that.
Yeah.
But, and you don't, by the way, they don't have to be in tights just because it's colored or because it's more like the comic. But I want to see, and it wasn't really till Avengers that they, I know Superman did it, but it wasn't until the Avengers that they said, hey, you know what? Screw what people think. Forget what people think. It is a comic book. We're going to treat life as such.
Yeah.
That is what it is, and I respected it. Okay, I'm not saying it has to be as cornballs as everything in the world, but you know what? I'm glad. I want to see the comics as they are. I want to see Miz Yespizelik on a Superman movie. I want to see all that.
He's so cool.
You know who would have been great? And he's gone now, but Gilbert Gottfried. I would have. He did the voice in the
comics. Yeah, he did.
I want to see Warwick Davis do it, actually. I want to see that kind of stuff. I want to see that stuff. That'd be great.
Yeah. Oh, so much that could be done.
Oh, I know it.
But then there's the stuff that I don't want to see.
Yes.
And here's the next thing on the list. Now, people have been getting excited about this because it seems like they're almost matching the same universe as, say, Roger Rabbit. But this is not what I wanted from the return of Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
What's the first thing that pops into your head when I say Chip and Dale? I bet it's these guys! But certainly the second would be those rascally cartoon chipmunks, Chip and Dale. What if I did something like...
I am into nuts!
Good, good, I love it.
Great stuff!
Woo! Just want to remind you guys, I'll be at FanCon this afternoon.
Hey, watch out!
I'm keeping myself fit and, you know, my updated modern look.
Don't you think you'd have more fans here if Chip did these events with you?
I hadn't thought about him in a while. I should give him a call. See how life's treating him.
Life is the worst. Which is why you need good insurance.
A message on my landline. I don't like that.
I know you're still mad about Rescue Rangers getting canceled, but I just got a call from the police, and I need your help.
I searched the perimeter. No clues.
Why would there be? Six missing tunes in a month and not one clue.
Oh, no!
Chip! Dale, you look different.
It's no secret I had the CGI surgery. What's been up with you?
You know, this, that, other vague things to fill the space of this conversation.
Cool!
We can see what we can find out and then pass it along to the officer, but that's all we're gonna do.
So you're saying the Rescue Rangers are back? Yes!
You two come poking around where you don't belong, and I can't have that.
Run!
I got him! What are you looking at?
Honestly, your weird dead eyes.
Over here!
Go get him!
This is awesome!
I was always more of an Alvin and the Chipmunks person.
You monster.
It was like professional. Same time. Jinx, you owe me a non-brand specific cola. What? That was crazy. Somebody call Guinness Book. This is incredible. My mind. Oh, we lost it.
May 20th coming to Disney Plus, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Not what I would have wanted from a movie.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to watch it. And the thing is I saw some.
You
of
can
that.
Review it. I don't think I can tolerate it.
There's some things about it that looks funny. One thing I saw in the preview that I thought, I don't remember if it was on that one or not, but that I thought looked funny was while they were doing all that, they showed Paula Abdul in the background with that cat.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things I guess is kind of creative, but it's they're putting into like almost the Roger Rabbit universe. And even there, they have what's his face, Seth MacFarlane, Seth Rogen as Pumbaa there. The live action Pumbaa, you didn't realize that was Pumbaa.
I didn't look.
You have
see.
A lot of different Disney characters being brought in, so it's like you're in the universe. That basically it's like within Roger Rabbit's universe.
Well,
and let me read this synopsis before we're talking about this. I don't want to talk about it long because, oh God. In Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, Chip and Dale are living amongst cartoons and humans in modern-day Los Angeles, but their lives are quite different now, and it has been decades since their successful television series was canceled, and Chip, Vosel Mulaney, has to come to a life of suburban domesticity as an insurance salesman. Dale, voice of Sandberg, meanwhile, has had CGI surgery and works the nostalgia convention circuit, desperate to relive his glory days. When a former castmate mysteriously disappears, Chip and Dale must repair their broken friendship and take on their Rescue Rangers detective personas once again to save their friend's life. And I have to agree with one person said, like, this movie can only be two things. This is going to be the worst train wreck you've ever seen, or it's actually going to turn out to have been brilliant. And yeah, we'll be surprised.
I agree with the same thing.
There's no middle road in this.
Because it's clever in a kind of a wink, wink, hilarious. I didn't ever expect seeing that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I won't really take it as the old Chip and Dale cartoon. It's At least I don't think it is a reunion or anything like that. It's funny. I always liked Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, but yeah. I never liked it as much as I did DuckTales. And to be honest with you, I didn't really
DuckTales
like
it. DuckTales was amazing.
I never liked the redo of DuckTales, the newest one. I didn't care for it much.
Yeah. It was all right. I didn't watch all of it, but I liked what I saw.
But as far as this goes, I think it's funny if it's more of a wink, wink, just kidding type of thing. Yeah. But as far as it being a redo, I don't think of it like that myself.
Yeah, it's basically saying, oh, no, the cartoon happened, but now, say, the actors have just gotten, you know. It's kind of like when you come back to Star Wars and suddenly the whole Han and Leia romance has already fallen apart and we're going to kill Han in the first movie. It's like that.
Yeah.
When you see Chip and Dale, like, oh, yeah, we've kind of split them up. And the Rescue Rangers wasn't a real thing for them. That was just a show they were both on. And you know, but they're going to have to do it for real now because somebody's going missing. And for crying out loud, Peter Pan has grown up and is the bad guy. Is that what we're seeing? Now, you knew I wasn't going to like that.
I didn't even realize that's who it was supposed to be honest with you.
Yeah. You didn't realize he was wearing Peter Pan's hats and his clothes. No, but he's grown up and he's a jerkwad.
No, I didn't. No. Yeah.
So
he looked like Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, kind of did. Here's something that some of the newer Star Trek I just can't. But I don't know. Captain Christopher Pike is getting a series now. Star Trek: Strange New Worlds.
I like Christopher Pike.
But this is a continuation from Discovery. Apparently,
oh yeah, I'm not into that so much.
Because apparently there's some crossover characters here, but.
Sorry to interrupt. This is your captain. Our mission.
I like the sound of this.
To chart the stars. Push the boundaries of what is known. And what is possible.
I'm standing on the surface of a comet.
I love this job.
People, this crew, I believe we can do anything.
You wanted to seek out new life. Go where the aliens are.
Your presence is blasphemy.
Let's talk about this. Find some comfort.
I think that went well. Perhaps we should kiss.
That seems logical.
Maybe we don't touch anything else. Just a suggestion.
The whole future hangs in the balance. No one can know the future. One can only follow one's instincts. You're the best of Starfleet. Our ability to work together, that's our greatest strength. Let's show them what you got.
All right, so this starts May 5th, so by the time you're hearing this, it's probably about ready to roll. One thing that's kind of gone wrong with some modern Star Trek, first off, was you had J.J. Abrams making movies, and he wanted to make Star Wars movies.
Yeah, that's what he wanted to do.
And Paramount, now with having their own streaming service, is making as much Star Trek as they can, but they're doing it with the sensibilities of Star Wars movies. And it just doesn't feel like Star Trek anymore.
No, it doesn't. But I'm going to watch this. I try to watch Discovery. I've tried to watch it.
I've tried to watch Picard, and I still can't get into it.
Picard because even though it isn't as good as the old, I do like Picard pretty good. I don't like all the stuff they put in it, obviously.
Yeah.
But language and such. But I can handle it much better than I can Discovery. I just can't get into it. It's just too woke for me.
And all the stuff they're doing, like Lower Decks, like we needed a parody animated series that's actually supposed to be in Star Trek world, and then they're making a kid's show, and I don't know how that's going to have turned out. But
I don't mind a kid's show for them, but I'm not going to watch them all just because it's not my thing.
Yeah.
But
they're making so much Star Trek, just trying to fill up space, and it's just, I don't know, I feel like they're not.
You mean The Final Frontier?
They're just not making good Star Trek anymore. And like, I miss Gene Roddenberry now, you know?
Yeah,
somehow it's like they've missed the point somewhere. It just doesn't feel right.
But I do like Picard pretty good, and I just can't get into Discovery. I just can't do it. I tried. I really did.
Yeah, and I've heard Picard's gotten kind of an agenda filled at points and stuff.
Yeah, it has.
And it's, you know, I'm now on my third attempt to try to watch the first season.
Yeah,
but it's like it's, I don't know, something's missing. But yeah, I don't want to take the show down, but I wanted to at least acknowledge that it was happening. Something else, though, I'm still pretty excited for. But as I was talking to like James Kennison, because he's a huge Buzz Lightyear fan, like this, if they get this wrong, it's going to break my heart. I'm afraid of not liking this movie because I'm excited what this could be. So here we go. But we got an official trailer too for Lightyear. Please be a good movie. That looks like ET's ship, I swear.
Log, Stardate 3901. After a full year of being marooned, our first hyperspeed test flight is a go.
Who are you talking to?
No one.
You were narrating again.
I was not. Just doing the mission log.
You do know no one ever listens to those.
I know that. Narrating helps me focus.
Ready, Captain Lightyear?
Ready as I'll ever be, Commander Hawthorne.
This is exciting. A new adventure.
I'm going to grant you 4 minutes to be off planet, but then you come right back to us. To infinity.
And beyond.
You are clear for hyperlaunch.
Beep boop, beep boop, beep boop.
Buzz, that was utterly terrifying, and I regret having joined you.
Buzz Lightyear to Star Command. Come in, Star Command.
Why don't they answer?
Hey!
Shh! The robots!
The what? What is happening right now? Alicia?
Oh, no. That's my grandmother.
But, Sox, how long were we gone?
Meow, 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 meow. 62 years, 7 months, and 5 days.
What?
I hope you're ready for action, because all we needed was a pilot.
For what?
To destroy the alien ship. I have a plan, and I have a team. Jarvi can take any three things and make them explode.
I do this, and they shave a little time off my sentence.
Okay, and what about you?
Well, I thought this was going to be like a fun boot camp workout thing.
But it is not.
Did I get it?
Pretty close.
Anita, anyone seen the harpoons?
Buzz!
Buzz, right here!
The probability of survival with an inexperienced crew is 38.2%.
Seems a bit low.
Mission failure imminent in 3.
Grandma always said she believed in you.
2. 1.
There was a big squirrely too. Oh, I think I need a bag.
No.
Please record your last words.
Do not vomit inside the vehicle.
Do not vomit inside the vehicle.
If you are satisfied with this recording, speak or select 1.
To infinity.
Are you trying to get me to pull your finger?
Don't fall for it.
No, not like that. Sorry, it's a thing your grandma and I used to do.
Yeah.
June 17th. I hope that is going to be fantastic. I want it to be so good. I want it to be so good. But I'm nervous that what if they goofed it up? What if they did something silly with it?
Well, hopefully it's good. We'll see.
Because right now I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Isn't this the plot of Buck Rogers?
Well, it's kind of a Buck Rogers-ish thing.
Yeah.
It's got that style. I mean, it's...
So if they didn't make a fantastic movie out of this idea, I'll be so disappointed. Because this has potential to be, like, so much fun.
Well, just a little over a month, and you'll find out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I'm like, I'm excited, but I'm also extremely nervous, you know? Because I'm like, I'm not as big a Buzz Lightyear fan as, like, James Kennison of That Story Show is, but he was, like, my favorite character in the first movie, because Tim Allen is so funny as that character. And I was disappointed when I first heard about it that it didn't get Tim Allen. But I do love Chris Evans, though, too. And I think he's doing a really phenomenal job from what I'm hearing.
June 17th and beyond.
So I just hope that this is as good as I want it to be and that I'm going to be just loving every minute of it because I really want to love it.
I will say this.
I hope they don't mess up.
The graphics are amazing.
Yeah. Well, of course, it's Pixar. Pixar always makes amazing looking. Pixar has shown me that they can now make movies that I'm disappointed in.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just on board with every Pixar movie, but now I'm cautiously optimistic. But this looks so much fun that I'm like, oh, please be as much fun as I hope it is. Yes,
it's so cute. Meow, meow,
I
meow,
want
meow.
A toy of the cat.
Oh,
I totally
adorable.
Need a toy of the cat.
Well, in your house especially with the cats you have and everything.
Yeah,
I could see your wife liking that.
But something else coming up at the end of the week, Saturday.
Yes,
is Free Comic Book Day, May 7th of 2022. Now, if you go to freecomicbookday.com, you can look up and try to find a local comic shop nearby you that is participating. You might want to call, if you have a shop you regularly go and you don't find it listed here, give them a call. I had to do that with one shop that I didn't think was listed here that they were participating, and I did contact them on Facebook, and they said, oh no, we're going to be participating like we do every year. So, but okay, here's, let me go through some of the lists of some of the stuff you can get for free. Here's the gold level stuff. You've got some Buffy the Vampire Slayer. There's some sort of Archie thing where it's a they've been doing like I think you were talking. There's like three different Archies now. There's like a grown up, there's a kids, and then there's the serious Archie. And then there's another one.
Classic. I love the classic Archie. I mean, you know me. I'm old school.
I can't even read this other one. But there's also another one that it's like a three different things. It's Dog Man, Cat Kid, and Captain Underpants.
Oh yeah.
There is of course a Doctor Who comic, which normally I grab those, but I don't know who in the world. I heard there was going to be a new Doctor. I don't know if this woman on the front is the new Doctor, but I haven't paid attention to Doctor Who now in years. We've got I Can't Read that one, something called Primus. There's an Amazing Spider-Man here. Cool. It's Amazing Spider-Man Venom number one. So are they giving them a book together? Because here's something. I don't know if you've heard about this one. Let me bring this up. The guy over at GameStop was telling me, I guess this happened during the big event because Carnage is like a symbiote god now.
Really?
But Eddie Brock was somehow granted some sort of cosmic power by somebody who had died, and Eddie Brock was given this major power, and he was asked what form he wanted to take with his power, and the only form he really knew was Venom. So he's in a form of Venom where he's got glowing orange eyes and a glowing orange spider, but he was able to summon Mjolnir and the Silver Surfer's surfboard and combine them together in some sort of giant axe, and then will fight symbiotes, apparently.
Ooh, boy.
They're getting really over the top and extreme on some crazy, complicated things. So I'm like, I don't know what I think about that.
I'll say this, though. That look would be very good at Halloween.
Yeah. But, I miss the 90s.
Yeah.
Then, of course, Dark Horse has got a Stranger Things comic that we'll get to see that it looks like they're mixing it with. It says Stranger Things Resident Alien. And Dark Horse is actually the ones who created. Have you watched Resident Alien? It's pretty good. Alan Tudyk is an alien on her.
I did watch a couple episodes.
It's a pretty funny show. I like it, but it's based off a Dark Horse comic, but I guess they're combining that in with a Stranger Things comic. I didn't
know that it was based off that.
Looks almost like a re-release of the first issue of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't know.
Huh.
But there's some sort of Ninja Turtles thing. That might also be where they're going to bring back Venus, from the live-action television series. They're making her an official female turtle now in the comics.
That doesn't bother me. I actually liked that character.
Then we've got some silver level. We've got, of course, anyone who's an Airbender fan. There's an Avatar comic. Some sort of a Marvel Judgment Day thing that I will be looking forward to getting. Just to see what's going on. A Bloodborne comic. A Donald Duck comic, which looks like...
That's a must.
It looks like it's some more reprints. I love it. I love it. Something called Clementine. Fuzzy Baseball. Just trying to see what some of this. Electric Black Children. Enemies. Equilibrium. It won't always be like this sampler, okay? There's a lot of indie comics getting some stuff. There's another thing from Marvel called Marvel's Voices. That sounds woke, doesn't it? I don't know. I don't know about this one. Some sort of Max Meow.
I was going to say, what is that?
Oh, look, a Neverlanders preview. I guess I should look at that.
Yeah, that's right up your alley.
There's this Red Sonja that looks like they're reprinting some Red Sonja.
Oh, that's cool.
Sonic the Hedgehog, Street Fighter. I usually have picked up some Sonic Hedgehog and some Street Fighter comics I've grabbed.
Nephew there, yeah.
Yeah. A Three Stooges comic.
Oh, now that's up my alley.
Yeah. Guardian of Fukushima, which I think might be based off in there, a Samurai Fukushima. I don't know, it's a video game. I don't know. But yeah, a lot of different kind of things available, and lots of fun things over at your local comic store. And I guess I've already mentioned all the weird things that Marvel is doing that I'm like, I don't know. Will you quit missing Spider-Man and Mary Jane and skinning people? Yeah. But there we go. So that is what we're excited about. We will probably have a show next week because we will talk. Well, I'm going to try to bring a recorder with me to Free Comic Book Day so we can talk about what we grab and what we see. And, of course, we will go see Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness and have some plenty of fun things to say about that as well. But we got to wrap this up. So, I should have some new reviews. I should have looked it up. I didn't look up my reviews. I wasn't paying attention, but that's okay. Let's just wrap this thing up here. I got some thank yous that I want to give out, of course, to Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite. He's actually had a guest on that I'm going to try to get on. You'll love what this guy is doing in Tucson, Arizona. This guy, this guy's awesome. So I'm looking forward to hopefully having him on in the near future when we don't already have pre-planned what I've got going on. Also, Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show, all three of them have helped contribute to the opening of the show. Don't forget, you can email us at podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPcast. Facebook.com/NeverlandPodcast. We also have a Facebook group, which is Facebook.com/groups/NeverlandPodcast. I hope our voicemail still works, 816-226-6492. And remember, of course, you can officially join the Neverlanders on our website by becoming official Lost Boy or Pixie. Why do we have Pixies? Because girls are too clever. They don't get lost. You just have to choose yourself a nickname. We haven't really leaned on that in a long time. It's been a while since I've gotten that. And don't forget, you can donate to through our Patreon. Of course, patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast. You will find links to all this stuff on our website, neverlandpodcast.com. If you just look on that nice little menu I have there, kind of midway right after the banner, you'll find our shop, you'll find links to Patreon, you'll find links to the actual podcast, links to subscribe, links to also find out my podcast reviews. I have a nice little picture there. If you click on that, you can save a lot of money by finding a way to look at all your reviews all in one place, and then we'll email it to you. Which I should have a new... I don't know if I got my email. I haven't looked here, but I think I had a new review that popped up this week. I should have, like I said, I should have looked it up. I should have. All right, but yes, so if you happen to have a podcast, my podcast reviews, if you click through my links, I get a little bit of a kickback for that. I do appreciate it. And for just a low, low price every year, and you have subscription, you can get this. This is a really great, great little service. But now, okay, you know, this is... I know this is your favorite part of the show now. Get lost. In an adventure! Philip loves that.
Absolutely.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.